I say now, welcome back to the Tea and Cognac session. This is your girl O'Brien, aka OB, aka O, coming to you in season 5 with episode 7. Today's topic, my hometown, Springfield, Missouri. It is an interesting place to be born and raised in. A lot of painful history here that we are still struggling to face and deal with. We are the gateway to the Ozarks. The Midwest is a beautiful place, but when you get into the why it's beautiful and why we still operate in a very dysfunctional space, it's because there's so much trauma and devastation that took place in this area, and the idea of pretending like it didn't happen is really this ideology that a lot of our leaders feel like they can push. I witnessed just recently last week a community leader give a speech and spoke on how they weren't making statements and weren't going to, you know, give the attention to who is oppressed and whatnot. They were just going to do different. And I had a real issue with it. I haven't been that uncomfortable in these spaces in a long time. But it was just kind of the realization of where we are collectively as a people and what needs to change. And the facts are, we're still perpetrating a fraud. We're still trying to pretend like we are something we are not. And that faking it until you make it ultimately is us selling out. Hindsight, I'm looking at just some of my elders from my childhood who had whatever titles and roles when I was just a little girl. And now that I've become an adult woman, professional, and mother, it's the same people in the same roles with the same old attitudes and thought process, still making decisions for the collective. That's the issue I'm having here in Springfield, Missouri. We can't grow and progress when it's already built on a lie, and all we do is perpetuate the lie. So the history of America, I spell it with 3 K's, because the history is we've been oppressed, people of color, not just so-called African-American, but anything with a melanated skin has been discriminated against, has been terrorized, has been categorized as the bottom of the barrel. If you don't believe me, do your research. It's the arguing with the facts and what the truth is. And for me, being black at 38 years old, I've been this my whole life. So there's not going to be too many conversations that's going to tell me about my experience. You might can offer some perspective. You might can give, you know, experience on your behalf. But this idea we can tell people how to feel is absolutely wrong. And as a black woman in Springfield, Missouri, I feel deeply and truly betrayed by what I see in our community and our so-called community leaders. Who do I think I am? I don't know who the hell I think I am. I can tell you who I'm not, though. I've never been one to follow along for too long. Once I realize it's whatever nonsense, shenanigans, tomfoolery, you know, I tend to want to do something different. I'm not going to keep going on with the lie. So with all that being said, we get to the history of Springfield, Missouri. And let's just do a little history lesson here. Springfield, Missouri was founded in 1838. John Campbell, I believe, and Andrew Jackson were partners in crime, literally. So what will come through here is now known as the Trail of Tears. But that would be an executive order to mandate anybody of color off the land. So that means they were literally removed from this area. The Trail of Tears literally cuts through downtown Springfield all the way from one end to the other end of Springfield, Missouri. So Battlefield, Missouri, Wilson's Creek, all these battles and things have taken place right here. We are living on probably a large grave site for our ancestors and predecessors. Again, they've renamed it the Greenway Trail, and they try to promote the Route 66 as this, big thing. But the history is being whitewashed. They're trying to remove themselves from what has happened. The truth is, we're not that far removed. My grandmother is alive and well and can speak on just her struggle in Springfield in the 70s and the 80s. Now, she was very successful in her younger years, but in her retired years, Springfield has become a very challenging and disturbing place to navigate life in. On the one hand, it's small enough to feel like a town, but then comes with that is that small-minded, unwilling to change, unwilling to, just progress. But we are surrounded by so many different larger cities within just 2 or 3 hours away. So we attract all different types of personalities and characters. The issue I'm having a few, but we'll talk about just how, because at this point we've talked about kids, self-care, sex, and all the things. I'm leaning towards the professional career and what you are supposed to be and how you're supposed to carry yourself. I am having a real issue with that here in Springfield because I've learned to be my authentic self. I've also accepted that I won't be received or liked by many, respected by a few, but liked, no. So it took a long time to accept that part of what my journey is. But the truth is, I'm the truth speaker. I don't speak on things unless I know for a fact what I'm speaking on. I've had a personal experience with it, or I simply just know some ins and outs of specific conversations. Not to claim I'm an expert or can't be taught anything, but a lot of times I've already kind of pieced together what's happening around me. What I would allow to happen was the gaslighting and making me feel crazy. So I'm past that now. I'm past the point of being angry about being confused, because that's what it was. For a long time, not knowing my history, not knowing what the struggle has been in our community and as a country. Cognitive dissonance is what we are up against. We think we know. We went to school and they've planted these seeds of slavery and black people are just slaves, and that's what we grew up holding on to and believing. And what we found out was slavery is not black people's history. That is American history. Black people and people of color were predominantly successful communities. People that had a problem with them being whatever successful would go out of their way to destroy and terrorize communities like Oklahoma, Springfield, Missouri, Philadelphia. Every state can probably attest to some kind of massacre or devastation to the community based off race and rage and hate. So we really can't get past this point. We've pulled the knife out a couple of inches, but what we're finding out is the wound is still very much there, and there's still very much a lot of healing to do. Just because you pulled it out a little bit didn't mean that healed everything. And I truly believe the sin is staying silent. The sin is perpetuating what's already a lie. So it's time to really step up and speak up. got a lot of locals here that are doing some amazing things, but because we don't play nice and we don't work together collectively, we don't move the needle. A couple of friends, a click or two might, you know, secure whatever grants and funding and whatnot, but for the collective healing of the community, no, we're still stuck somewhere in 1930 or 40. We are at least 100 years behind the times in our community. And it's unfortunate. As a native to Springfield, Missouri, because this is my town. I was born here, right? This is home. I've always denied it, but I was born here. I didn't get recruited. I didn't get relocated here as a child. I was born here. So to not be received and to not be understood, it gets to be hurtful at times. As I've grown up with these people, but we are not alike. And how do we bridge these gaps? How do we do better? Are you being intentional with the conversations, who you have at the panel? I want some real clarity on what is social justice for you? What is inclusion for you? Springfield, I'll see people post about how inclusive their board is. Meanwhile, there's not one person of color, or it's all males, or it's your same old go-tos that always speak for the collective. It's no new faces. It's not new blood. It's the same old, same old, same old. Can't get the community excited or even participating because it's the same old in 2024. We have not changed a bit from the 90s or the 80s since I was a kid running around Springfield. So it's become unbearable. I announced some time back, I am ready to relocate and leave it behind me. I do feel like I bring specific skill sets and knowledge to whatever profession, role, job that I hold, but to be somewhere where you're tolerated and not embraced is exhausting. And I can only imagine it's taken years off my life expectancy. So I'm in this place of, okay, I want to retain my grandmother's legacy, right? Like I said, three generations of Daniels have come to Springfield, Missouri. I am a millennial. I am a mother. And I am doing my best to be this professional in this world. How do I preserve our legacy? I feel like it's this. I feel like it's speaking up, contributing the thoughts and the information and the experiences. Again, been here since the 70s. Long history. So when we don't know who we are and what we come from, history repeats itself, period. And that's what's happened. So you remember in school, they talked to us about being this melting pot and the United States was going to let everybody in and we were going to be one big happy family in this melting pot versus the salad bowl. I remember somebody chuckling at this last year when I brought it up at a meeting. But the idea of a salad bowl always seemed more appealing. You know, everything gets its own identity in the salad. But in a melting pot, everything becomes one. And I think there's something wrong with that ideology. That's how the confusion of the cultural appropriation, plagiarism versus imitation, I think that's where it stems from. When everybody is assumed to be the same and we don't have any individual roots, then we got this thing called stealing versus modeling, right? And what we got going on in Springfield is a lot of stealing. We don't give each other credit. We don't call specific ones that have been in the game for a long time. might not be rich, but know a lot. Bring a lot to the table. So just having the conversation, having them at the table when conversations are being had, is going to be the profound difference in the future and building a community that is truly inclusive. But we're still not there. And we're still being seen as less than. And very much the crab in the bucket is still alive and well. I would like to remove the bucket, since crabs don't habitat in a bucket. I remember when I saw that, it was profound for me. It was, oh, we act like crabs and we'll kill each other and attack each other. And I don't remember what I read, but it was in the moment of reading it, realizing who put the bucket there. Because we're not born in buckets. We should be able to move around freely, land or sea, as a crab does, right? But that's not what's happening. You got your gatekeepers and ones that maybe they do want to see change, but they're definitely afraid to be the one to implement the change. A lot of people are concerned about title and status. And for me, I have nothing to lose at this point. My son is the only thing of real value, I feel like. And of course, my grandmother. But as far as titles and things, I can't be really stripped of anything. I'm in the lowest of the low in my current season that I've been in a long time, you know. So that is my truth. But the truth is, I will tell the truth. I don't cover it up. I don't hide it. And I don't pretend to be something I'm not. So to have some of these conversations, I just wanted to kind of bring up some names. I grew up really appreciating Jane Elliott, Tim Wise, James Baldwin. The most recent book I've read was The Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Boy by Immanuel Eco. So, you know, it's being intentional on how do we have the conversation, because pretending like it didn't happen, that's standing with the lie. And I do believe the maker is going to question, why did you stand with the lie versus why didn't you stand up for the truth? I do believe that's where the sin comes in at. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of tap in on what the community struggle is and remind people Jim Crow wasn't that long ago. And my grandmother is alive and well at 75 years old and can attest to her, what she witnessed as a little girl and what she saw her parents have to do as a sharecropper and different things. So we're not that far removed. No, we didn't personally endure a lot of this, but with the mental health aspect and finding out that trauma is transferred through the DNA. So that means this pain and anguish and confusion has been passed down many a generations. And that's why everybody is, that's why we're where we're at. I'm looking for healing and I want it now, not in the hereafter. And I wanna quote something that I've always loved. I can't call his name. He's an actor. It's Grey's Anatomy, but I can't call his name in the very moment. But he said, it's not the burden of the brutalized to stand up for the silent ones. You're gonna get your feelings hurt. It is not my job to protect the bystanders' feelings anymore. The brutalized, at some point, stand up and fight back. And as a millennial, I'd like to claim I'm that. So here we go. In 2024, I've claimed it to be mine. Whether I stay here or leave, I am no longer in the business of protecting others and showing up for everybody. I am a loving, caring individual, and I mean well by people, period. It doesn't matter the color, shade, or creed. I mean well by people. So when you don't mean me well, I absolutely have to move differently. And that's just the emotional intelligence and growing up factor. I hope y'all are hanging in there. This is the times. I've always grown up hearing about it, but we are living in the times. And you're either facing your demons and dealing with them, or you're just living a lie in denial. A lot of vices and things to try to cover up feelings and hide and numb ourselves. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing this work, you find yourself just repeating cycles. And that's what I've done for many a year. So here we are. You know, it's a new day, a new month starting tomorrow. I wanted to finish April with at least one more episode for the Tea and Cognac session. And I just want to keep figuring out me. As I've spent most of my life trying to be everything for everybody else, I am in the place of, it's my time. I can do this by myself or in a team, but it's my time and I'm going to claim it. So, all right, I don't want to keep y'all too long. I know y'all's attention span ain't spit these days, but I know mine ain't. But I just wanted to kind of wrap a little bit about this history of Springfield and how we're still tiptoeing around the elephant in the room. But Horace, Duncan, and Coker still have not been, they've put some signs up, but it's still not, it's not fixed. So I don't know that I'll fix anything, but I damn sure will speak on the lie that is still being pushed. So that's all for today's episode. You can hit me up on social media, of course, the Jill of Most Trades, the Melanin Initiative. I am OSD LLC of Springfield, Missouri, personal assistant in concierge services. I'm here. Google me, look me up, hit me up, give me feedback. I love y'all. I really do. And I look forward to speaking to you soon. Y'all hang in there and take care. Stay prayed up. Peace.